Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. Not in years has the special relationship between the United States and Britain been more evident than it is right now in Washington. President Reagan and Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher held formal discussions yesterday that emphasized their identity of views on major issues. And then came last night's White House banquet with Mrs. Thatcher's guest of honor. Lem Tucker reports.
Mrs. Thatcher and the president had what were called productive talks, but aides said they did not discuss the economic problems of either Great Britain or the United States. By last night, they were ready for a party, a glittery state dinner at the White House, and you could sense that each greatly admired the other. And when they spoke, he of the state of the world, she of their shared ideology, you could hear one speaking for the other.
Together we'll strive to preserve the liberty and the peace so cherished by our peoples. No foe of freedom should doubt our resolve. We will prevail because our faith is strong and our cause is just.
For me, and I know for you too, conservatism doesn't mean maintenance of the status quo. It means maintenance of the old values, the only background against which one can make the changes and adaptations which have to be made to keep abreast of the technological change that we need to embrace for a prosperous future.
Today, Mrs. Thatcher will hold more talks with administration officials. Tonight, she will host the Reagans at dinner. Lem Tucker, CBS News, Washington.
During the day, Mrs. Thatcher will visit Georgetown University to make a speech and receive an honorary degree. The Joint Chiefs of Staff are scheduled to meet today to approve a list of options for increased U.S. military aid to El Salvador. We'll hear about that from Mike Pappas.
Most of the options include the sending of small teams of American military advisors to El Salvador to instruct Army officials there on weapons maintenance and basic infantry techniques. Meanwhile, Pentagon officials have expressed growing concern for American helicopter crewmen who have been flying patrols along El Salvador's mountainous northern border, assisting the Organization of American States to monitor a ceasefire called at the end of a bitter border war between El Salvador and Honduras. Communist rebels have apparently been firing on the American helicopters. One returned last December with three bullet holes in it, according to OAS sources. The American crew of three escaped unharmed. Ike Pappas, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Secretary of State Haig told reporters at last night's White House dinner that no matter what military aid the U.S. sends El Salvador, that country will not become another Vietnam, as some people have feared. Haig said the Salvadoran guerrillas are only a small group, and any U.S. role there, he said, would be simply to help the government learn how to defend itself. Spain's new Prime Minister Calvo Sotelo appears to be widening his purge of military men involved in this week's unsuccessful coup d'etat. Four generals are now reported under arrest. All told, more than 30 officers are in custody, along with the 240 civil guardsmen who held control of the lower house of parliament for 18 hours. The defense ministry says other commands are being investigated. And now, as we hear from Don Cladstrup, the people are being heard from.
Giant marches are scheduled throughout the country this evening as Spaniards rally to support democracy and condemn what happened earlier this week when military officers tried to overthrow the government. The marches, likely to involve hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, are being backed by all of Spain's political parties and the major trade unions. The government, meanwhile, has launched an official inquiry into the aborted military coup. The king, vowing to uphold democracy in Spain, has condemned the plot, but warned the public to be calm and exercise restraint. Too much criticism of the armed forces, he feels, could be counterproductive. There are many within the military who, while not supporting the coup attempt, at least sympathized with it, feeling that a military government, rather than a civilian one, is the best way to stamp out political terrorism. Don Cladstrup, CBS News, Madrid.
Soviet Prime Minister Nikolai Tikhonov had his turn at the rostrum today at the Communist Party Congress in Moscow, and Mary Wisniewski reports that his address, for the most part, dealt with the state of the Soviet economy.
Generally, he praised the achievements made during the last five-year plan, but Tikhonov admitted there were problems in grain and fodder production and called for substantial improvements in agriculture. Tikhonov asked for improved trade relations with the United States. He took up the overtures made by President Leonid Brezhnev in his opening address to the Congress. Brezhnev said the Soviet Union is prepared for an active dialogue with the U.S., and Tikhonov extended the invitation to the economic sphere. It is not our fault that trade with the U.S. is declining, Tikhonov said. We are prepared to develop economic relations with the U.S. on the basis of equality and mutual benefit. But the Soviet Union's calls for improved relations with the U.S. came at the same time as a renewed show of support for Cuba. Mary Wisniewski for CBS News, Moscow.
Tikhonov today gave the party Congress the nation's economic blueprint for the next decade, and unanimous approval by the Congress is a foregone conclusion. A couple of days behind schedule, three British missionaries held in Iran for months on false spy charges finally left for home this morning. Dan Raviv has the story in London.
On Wednesday, Iranian authorities claimed there was something wrong with the missionaries' passports. Yesterday, the three Anglicans were said to have missed the plane. Today, they flew by Iran Air to Athens, accompanied by Terry Waite, the envoy from the Church of England who negotiated their release. Tomorrow, they will come home to a big reception at London's Heathrow Airport. Relations between Britain and Iran are still not healthy because a fourth British citizen, a businessman accused of spying and embezzling, remains in prison in Iran. Britain's Foreign Secretary, Lord Carrington, had called all four prisoners hostages. And although the trade embargo was lifted by London after the 52 Americans were freed last month, Britain is still refusing to sell any military equipment to Iran. Dan Raviv, CBS News, London.
Several IRA guerrillas, now being held at May's prison in Northern Ireland, say they're going to start another hunger strike on Sunday to press their demand for political prisoner status. The British government already has said that that status will not be granted. France is now claiming a new world's record for the fastest train on Earth after a test run during which it reached a top speed of 236 miles an hour. Bernard Redmond has details in Paris.
The new high-speed train was built here in France and is owned by the state-run French National Railways. The TGV train, as it's called, is to begin commercial operations in September between the cities of Paris and Lyon. It's expected to cover the 287-mile distance regularly in well under 2 hours. In a test run near the city of Tonnerre in central France, it shattered a 26-year-old world record by attaining a speed of 236 miles an hour. The earlier mark was also set by a French train in 1955. The French claim their new train is much faster than Japan's so-called bullet trains in service between Tokyo and Osaka. The French rail line is constructed like an American interstate highway, but with smooth welded track, no crossings, and no slow freight trains. Bernard Redmond, CBS News, Paris.
French police are calling it the most spectacular escape in French history. Two men armed with pistols and a grenade hijacked a helicopter, forced the pilot to land inside the walls of a maximum security prison near Paris, and pick up two prisoners who were playing soccer. Then they took off again with police helicopters in hot pursuit, landed at a sports field on the outskirts of Paris, and all four men, the hijackers and the prisoner, escaped in a waiting automobile. Pope John Paul returned to Rome today from his round-the-world flight after a nonstop trip across the North Pole from Alaska. Chrysler Corporation this morning gained final federal approval of $400 million in new loans to avert bankruptcy. The action was taken by the Chrysler Loan Guarantee Board in Washington. The board's chairman, Treasury Secretary Donald Regan, said it now is clearly the sole responsibility of Chrysler's senior management to achieve or exceed the results projected in the company's operating and financing plans. Howard Hanson, the composer, conductor, and educator, died last night in Rochester, New York, after a short illness. He was 84 years old. Hanson headed the Eastman School of Music for 40 years. He was a prolific composer and won the Pulitzer Prize in 1944. The dollar is strong today against the major foreign currencies, and gold is on the downside. It was fixed in London this morning at $490.25 an ounce, off a couple of dollars.
CBS News, the economic signpost droops once more. Good morning, this is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The latest statistics from Washington now and correspondent Jim McManus.
It was the second consecutive downturn, the government's index of leading economic indicators dropping 0.4% in January. Commerce Department analysts called it slightly disturbing. The index measures a broad range of economic activity that indicates future trends. The January figures reveal a slight but general slowing of economic activity. 8 of 10 indicators moved downward slightly, with the largest decline measured in crude materials pricing. And that's one of the most sensitive indications of future trends. On the upside, an increase in the average work week and total change in liquid assets. Commerce Department spokesmen were cautious, saying they would prefer to see the indicators moving upward. But none would predict a general slowdown in the national economy, although some of the signs are there in the December and January figures. Jim McManus, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
Health officials report flu virus is now in your area. Be alert for these symptoms: headache, fever, muscle ache, sore throat pain. If you have any or all of them, get the Anacin difference. Compare 2 tablets of regular Tylenol, Bayer, and Bufferin, 650 milligrams. But Anacin, a full 800. More pain reliever in a special formula. The flu virus is here, but so is Anacin. Get the Anacin difference. Use only as directed.
It's your mother's birthday tomorrow, George.
Oh, I didn't send her a thing.
When she gets finished with you, your ears will be ringing.
What a difference a mailgram makes in 24 little hours.
When a message has to be there tomorrow, pick up the phone, call Western Union, and tell them you want to send a mailgram message. Within seconds, your greeting is on its way for delivery with the next business day's mail.
And it's only a day away, that mailgram from you.
If it isn't Rita Jeanrette on the talk shows these days, it must be Margaret Thatcher. Appearing on 2 network shows today, the British Prime Minister urged President Reagan not to rush into some reply quickly to the Kremlin's proposal for that summit session. She also cautioned about outside interference in El Salvador, saying the most important thing is to stop the flow of communist arms into that country. Secretary of State Haig held a briefing on El Salvador today and indicated the foreign arms shipment is more serious than ever.
There's evidence to suggest there are still vast amounts yet to be moved and that there's a great deal of activity designed to move it. There's great concern about the so-called wet season, I guess we've heard that term before, and the need to get arms that have been provided in country or into neighboring countries. And there are reports of even larger shipments yet underway. All of this is being very, very carefully watched. This is a problem emanating first and foremost from Cuba, and that it is our intention to deal with this matter at its source.
The Democratic Party has elected a California millionaire to lead it back from the elective wilderness. Named national chairman of the party this morning is Charles Manette, to succeed John White, the Texan handpicked by former President Carter. Manette is 44 and has been the party's finance chairman. As expected, the Chrysler Loan Board came up with another $400 million in loan guarantees today. The company has already drawn on an $800 million fund, and Congress has approved still another $300 million. But the Reagan administration is not certain it is committed to that latter amount. All of this money could be eaten up by a 1980 loss figured to be some $1.7 billion, largest in American corporate history. More news after this.
A young man went to a lumber camp and got a job chopping trees. And on the first day, he worked very hard and felled many trees. On the second day, he worked just as hard, but his production was cut in half. Then on the third day, he swung his axe with all his might, but accomplished almost nothing. As the foreman questioned him about his poor production, he noticed that his axe was very dull. So he asked the lad, "When did you stop to sharpen your axe?" The lad replied, "Sir, I haven't had time to sharpen my axe. I've been too busy cutting trees." So it is in this ever-changing modern world. We must take the time to sharpen our skills and abilities to keep them keen and responsive. Many men and women take the Dale Carnegie course because they know they must keep their skills, their abilities sharp and responsive to achieve more of their objectives. Find out more about the Dale Carnegie course. For a free brochure, call Dale Carnegie toll-free, 800-231-5800. That's Dale Carnegie, 800-231-5800. In Texas, call 800-392-2424.
French police, who have been victimized by some sensational escapes in their day, insist that this one is the most spectacular. A helicopter clattered into the soccer field of the maximum security prison just south of Paris. While one man stood guard with a gun, France's public enemy number one and another hardened criminal leaped aboard. The helicopter fluttered away to another soccer field where it was abandoned, and the men and their rescuers escaped by car. On Wall Street at the hour, the Dow Industrial Average up 1.39 at 968.20. The first hour volume is 16.5 million shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.
News break. The way President Reagan and British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher have hit it off during her visit to Washington, we may be in for a new era in Anglo-American relations. Here they are at the White House banquet last night.
Now, above all, is the time to stay on course. I say that, Mr. President, not least because only a firmly based economy can enable us to act as a strong and effective partner in an alliance.
It's my deep hope that as the leaders of two nations whose relationship is vital for the preservation of human freedom, that we'll be in close and frequent consultation in the years ahead.
I'm Christopher Glenn, reporting on the CBS Radio Network, and in a minute, we'll peer across the ocean at a couple of interesting ways we might benefit from British innovation.
Hi, I'm Tommy James for the Bell System.
Reach out and touch someone. Reach out, call up and just say hi. Reach out and touch someone. Wherever you are, you're never too far.
We might open the new age of British-American partnership proclaimed by President Reagan and Prime Minister Thatcher by learning from the Education Authority in Somerset, England. Upset by the fact that the kids weren't shelling out their shillings in school cafeterias, they installed the Space Invaders video game at the schools, and the school board's take from that apparently has saved the district education budget. And the resourceful British have also come up with this clever idea.
Your drink is on its way. Enjoy your six drink.
Yes, folks, it's a talking vending machine. Peter Chamberlain, who markets the thing, says it's going to be like talking movies taking over from the silence. In Britain, the tea trolley is an institution like our coffee wagons, and we wondered if this technological advance doesn't mean the loss of more human jobs.
No, not at all. We, in fact, manufacture a trolley specifically, actually, for tea ladies, and we feel that the vending machine is for a 24-hour service, and the tea lady has her place when providing a lot of drinks for a lot of people all at the same time, for example, at tea break.
The machine only speaks five phrases, but does it in three languages, and many times it's the same old song.
Sorry, selection sold out. Please try another.
Do disgruntled customers ever talk back to this laryngeal marvel?
We haven't had any examples of that. Of course, in the first instance, people were a little surprised that the machine should talk to them. Having once first got used to it, I feel that they feel better for being spoken to than just watching for a light.
Chamberlain says the vocal vendor doesn't break down as often as conventional machines, and he sees a day when they could be self-diagnostic.
This is only the tip of the technological iceberg, if you like, and we would hope in the future to be able to move into diagnostics This would mean, for example, that when there was a problem with the machine and the customer phoned in, they would be able to press a button and the machine would say specifically what was wrong with it. Our technician could then come with exactly the right part and the machine could be fixed much quicker than would normally be the case.
But when you get right down to it, is there really that much difference in the quality of service one can expect? Just listen.
Your coin has not been accepted. Please try again.
Followed by a very old-fashioned swift kick to the coin slot. Now this.
Actors do it for courage. Writers for inspiration. Producers to make deals and keep everyone happy. In a shocking two-part series, TV Guide reveals the cocaine epidemic in the Hollywood television industry. It's affecting what you see on television and destroying lives, minds, maybe Hollywood itself. Hollywood's Cocaine Connection, Part 1, in the new TV Guide magazine. On sale now.
Newsbreak, February 27th. I'm Christopher Glenn, CBS News.
CBS News, the Chrysler Corporation announces the biggest annual loss in American business history. I'm Douglas Edwards, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Chrysler told its shareholders today it lost $1.7 billion last year, more than any U.S. company have ever lost in a single year. Among the reasons, worldwide car sales were down 23% from 1979. Word of the record loss was announced just after the federal government gave final approval on a $400 million loan guarantee to keep Chrysler afloat. Treasury Secretary Donald Regan, though, made it clear more loans are no sure thing.
The decision on this one was made for us by the previous administration, and all we had to do today was to see that the conditions that had been set down on January 19th were in fact actually met. In the judgment of the board, they were met, so we approved the loan. On the next one, we'd have to go into a much more detailed study before we'd ever give such approval.
Treasury Secretary Donald Regan. More news after this.
Some sun. Need some fishing. Need a vacation. MasterCard's the only credit card you really need anywhere.
Only Bayer.
Bayer aspirin.
Bayer, of course.
Ask mothers, which is the only pain reliever you'll need in your home this colds and flu season? And the answer from millions would be?
Bayer, of course.
Bayer, because the whole family can use it. Bayer, because nothing else, short of a prescription, can do more for the aches, fever, and sore throat pain. Remember, rest, fluids, and all you need is...
Bayer.
Only Bayer.
Bayer aspirin.
Use only as directed.
Another warning today from the Reagan administration that Cuba may be planning to send a big shipment of arms to leftist rebels in El Salvador. Secretary of State Haig told reporters the Reagan administration is going to deal with the problem, but he wouldn't say how.
Our problem with El Salvador is external intervention in the internal affairs of a sovereign nation in this hemisphere. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the essential problem we're dealing with. Now, in dealing with that problem, we are going to continue with the levels of assistance determined as absolutely essential by the Carter administration and our country team. And I recognize there are some differences with respect to assessments on the ground by various American representatives. That's to be expected, and indeed it's welcomed.
Both El Salvador's government and the leaders of the leftist rebels rejected an offer today to mediate an end to the fighting. The offer came from West Germany. The index that the government uses to predict how the economy will do was down in January for the second month in a row. The index of leading economic indicators was down 0.4%. Last month, it was down 0.9%. The Commerce Department says this is a slight but disturbing trend. President Reagan is to meet with his economic advisors today in the White House. They're said to be looking for up to $6 billion in additional cuts from the federal budget. This morning, Budget Director David Stockman said he's looking for cuts from the budgets of virtually every government agency. The Democratic Party has a new leader today. He's Charles Minot, a lawyer and millionaire from California. He was elected national chairman at a morning meeting of the Democratic National Committee in Washington. Three missionaries imprisoned in Iran on spying charges are on their way home today. The three, all members of the Church of England, had been in a Tehran jail for 5 months. Wall Street this hour, the Dow Jones average up 3.75 points, volume 25.5 million shares. Now this.
We're Victor Business Products, and we think we make the best desktop calculators around. So do the more than 250 Fortune 500 companies that use them. We know you'll think so, too, if you try one. So we've come up with an incentive to put you in touch with Victor Quality. A free trip to Hawaii or Acapulco, plus hundreds of other great prizes. It's Victor's winning calculation sweepstakes, and you can play it at any participating Victor dealer. Winning is easy, playing is fun. No purchase needed. Anyone 18 or over can play. You can make your calculation on any calculator, but we're hoping you'll make it on a Victor. After all, that's the reason for our sweepstakes in the first place, because we know that once you get your hands on one of our fine American-made machines, you'll be sold on Victor for good. So check your yellow pages for your Victor dealer and play Victor's winning calculation sweepstakes. Offer ends April 30th. Entries available while supplies last. Details at your Victor dealer. Offer void where prohibited by law.
It's day two of Margaret Thatcher in Washington. The British Prime Minister is to give what's billed as a major address at Georgetown University this afternoon. After that, to the Pentagon for defense talks. Tonight, she hosts a dinner for the Reagans at the British Embassy. This morning, Mrs. Thatcher had encouraging words for Mr. Reagan's budget plans and said he shouldn't jump at the chance to talk to Soviet leaders at a summit conference. Douglas Edwards, CBS News.